The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The FBI has loosened its employment restrictions.
You get a tattoo
for
now?
For would-be agents who have previously used the marijuana.
Yep. That's good, because you're not going to be able to employ anybody.
They're coming around.
If you can't say you smoked weed.
Yeah, previously, prospective employees of the FBI could not have used marijuana within the last 3 years.
Oh, not ever?
Within the last 3 years.
Okay. And now you can...
But now it's cool.
You can apply as long as just a couple weeks ago?
Now applicants are ineligible if they have used cannabis more than 24 times after turning the age of 18.
So you're gonna ask a stoner. Wow. You're gonna ask a stoner to count how many times they got high, and that's just a lie. Just lie.
That's just an over under.
You can just lie. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, but if they bust, if the FBI busts you lying, which it would be easy to bust any of us for lying on that one, because they just have to ask somebody. You think he smoked weed more than 20 times in the last few years?
I only hung out with him for about a month, yes. I knew the guy for a month in college, yes. Otherwise, I haven't seen him in 20 years, so I have no idea. But
besides that, absolutely he has.
It was really only about 12
went
days.
I went to high school with him for about 3 months.
And yes,
yes,
he did.
Yes.
Well, does that count a day? Because you can smoke weed multiple times in a day.
Sure.
If that's your question,
you just disqualified yourself.
When you're applying to the FBI, if that's your question, you might as well not apply. Does that count in a day?
Oh, yeah.
You can smoke weed more than once in a day.
Because sometimes I wake and bake, and then I smoke at night.
Right. So does that count as two?
Is that two?
Okay. Then you would say 24. Yes, I've smoked more than 24 times.
The moment you ask for clarification on that, you're out. You're done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd be out. They'd say if you smoked weed 24 times, I'd say this month.
Yeah.
That's an odd.
They say it's the 14th.
Arbitrary number. 24.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Well, it turns out I only smoked 23 times. Oh, you're in. The FBI could use a guy like you.
it's so stupid.
You were real close
you're
there.
Completely qualified. And say you smoked in college for like 2 months, a lot, didn't like it, and quit. And it's 10 years later, you can't get a job with the FBI because you smoked more than 24 times.
You could live in a legal state.
Right.
That doesn't count.
No, doesn't.
That's nuts.
And I like to think you could just lie about that, but it's also the FBI, and they could probably find out. But then how do they find out?
They're not going to find out.
There's they no ask people, record. And people will say...
Well, like we said, right, you're talking about us.
The fact that they have to ask shows they don't really know.
There's no way to definitively find that out about you.
FBI said...
Did you say 2,400? Would you say 24? That's how people would answer that. You guys would answer that.
I'd help you count if we were talking 2,400, give or take.
Oh, they said 2,400. Okay, I'm out of here. I'll see you later.
Who the hell keeps track?
I know, that's stupid. You could guesstimate it. 365 days a year, you guys are high. You smoked dope, 340 of those days?
Oh, no, 365.
Okay. I don't want to throw that out there because you always get mad thinking we make fun of stoners. So you're 365, Nick.
I'd say probably 3-4 times a week.
Okay, so you're lower than that. You're 355 probably, or 350 maybe.
Look at you
maybe,
with the moderation.
Or 340. Look at you with the moderation. Are you 365, Craig?
Not quite.
360?
Okay.
Why would you skip it?
I forget or
five
something.
5 days in a year?
He's got a lot more jobs than you.
5 days in a year? It's not really skipping it.
Or is it one of those, it's late.
I forgot to smoke. Yeah, I don't know.
That may have happened to me.
And probably more often than that, but nevertheless.
No FBI for you guys.
Oh, I'm sure they're disappointed.
Now I'm kicking myself.
I was going to say, I think when I was hospitalized, I didn't smoke any, but my buddy bought some edibles up.
That's still weed in your system. Yeah. I guess that would count, yeah.
That's not smoking, though.
It's using it. He said using it, yeah.
The FBI said in an update to its job eligibility guidance that candidates who, quote, have used marijuana or any of its various forms in any location, regardless of the legality, blah, 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 more than 24 times, disqualified for FBI employment.
It's just an odd number. How about if you haven't smoked weed in 3 years, you can apply? Whatever.
How about if you take a test and you're clean at that point?
Right.
You're in.
Right. If you're qualified for the FBI.
If there's some 18-year-old kid in a legal state, why?
Right. I know.
Yeah, there's always going to be a stigma around it.
Before the attitude changes, that it's just like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would never make a policy about alcohol.
No.
If you've had more than 28 beers in your life, you can't be part of the FBI. They're not going to say that.
That'd be the same thing. Like in a day?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you drink all day. Does that count?
Consumption
It was
prior.
A tailgate.
Consumption prior to one's 18th birthday is not a disqualifier for FBI employment. They said that they will evaluate that candidate by using the whole person concept.
Right, dude.
Yeah, how do they feel about selling liquid acid out of a fast food drive-thru?
Yep, I wouldn't apply. Or at least I'd leave that blank. You were never busted, though.
No.
So they can't tell.
I did get a call from somebody who said they kind of like went through something in high school about this.
Uh-huh.
And the FBI would be having you hooked up to a polygraph when they ask you about what weed you've smoked.
Okay, say
that makes it harder to lie about the answer.
Yeah.
Well, really, what if you did smoke 35 times and not 24 and knew it was 35?
Well, can you stay calm when you lie?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
Every day.
I'm pretty good at lying. I don't know if I can beat a test, but I'm pretty good at lying.
I bet you
unfortunately.
Could.
And we're never doing that bit.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
We talked about
getting polygraph in here for years, and we realized, no.
Not a good idea.
No.
Well, if we did, it would just be wrong. That polygraph lies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The machine is full of lies.
Make the polygraph take a polygraph test. Oh, it's polygraph.
Oh, that's
lie.
Right. A lie.
Yep. That makes perfect sense.
Whenever I drive by the FBI building in town, I always want to go in there. I wish they did like adult field trips.
Oh, just to look around?
I bet it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the giant spiky wrought iron fence kind of says stay away.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not going to try like break in. I would somebody would be like, hey, check this out. Like, okay.
We could hook you up, probably.
I had a buddy of mine who's an FBI guy. He's just retired, though.
For applicants who have used illicit drugs other than the marijuana, there does remain a 10-year period before they can be considered eligible for employment for the FBI. And misrepresenting previous illicit drug use is also a disqualifying factor.
Not looking for a career change at this point, but I'm going to scratch that one off.
Yeah.
Because even I've smoked more than 24 times.
And there may have been other illicit drugs.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did all those.
I forgot
about that. Are they going to ask about coke and meth?
Yeah,
oh,
you got
damn.
10 years on that
damn,
one, though. So you may be
longer than that.
How many acids can we do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
19.
I think if we ask any of these questions, we're disqualified.
Uh-huh, again.
Yep. I don't smoke much weed, but I did a lot of blow back in the day. Is that cool?
The moment you ask for clarification, you're out. Well, what about, you can go now.
Yeah.
FBI, if you work for the FBI, you're around. We'll take clarification on that. How you get away with that?
Guessing they're not going to call it.
No, you get away. Yeah,
retired.
We'll
take, right.
See, those guys don't want to find a way around it.
No.
I think there's a culture that's not based around drug use in the FBI.
You think?
Yeah, a lot of them are pretty straight laced. Good point.
I'm sure there's a handful that aren't, but for the most part.
For the most part.
Craig has got a straight-up confused puppy dog look on his face right now. What? They don't?
Everybody doesn't talk like us at the workplace? I guess not.
How many civil rights violations are you allowed?
No word on that. That wasn't involved in the drug policy.
Yeah. That's not as bad as drugs.
No.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
United Airlines being hit with a fine for long tarmac delays. The Department of Transportation fined United nearly $2 million for 25 delays that affected more than 3,200 passengers. Airlines must allow passengers the opportunity to return to the terminal after more than 3 hours on the tarmac for domestic flights and 4 hours for international. United's longest delay happened in 2016 when travelers were stuck on the plane for more than 5 hours.
Yeah, I was on a I was on a United flight in O'Hare. We stayed out in the tarmac because the snow was coming down, and they were going to try to get us off. And I think we sat there. This is years ago. We sat. We sat there at least 3.5, and that was a nightmare. Thank God the kids weren't born yet. But we were just sitting there. I'm thinking, okay, I had to breathe heavy. Like, okay, I'm just okay. They're not serving alcohol, so you just have to relax, read a magazine, let the clock tick away. Brutal.
And you can't get up and go to the bathroom, can you?
Well, if you really had to go, but I wasn't drinking anyway. But then finally we took off. But yeah, you should be out there for more than 2 hours.
I get pissed when we have to wait 10 minutes for a gate.
Oh, I hate that.
Which is just pissy planning.
Call ahead. Yeah. You know we're on the way.
Right. Yeah. I got a little app here that says we're in the air and we're going to be here right about then. And maybe have a gate open for a plane.
Yeah.
That's scheduled to arrive. That's been on your
walk
schedule.
Walk, bitches. He's yelling right now. Our pilot buddy. Walk, bitches.
It really is the worst just sitting there.
Ugh.
There's few things that suck more involving the airport than just sitting on the plane on the tarmac.
Yeah, I'll tell you a nightmare. I was golfing in Orlando with some buddies, but they all flew back east, and I was the only one flying back to the Midwest. And I hopped on this little regional flight, so we're leaving Orlando. What else is in Orlando, puss?
Disney World.
Right. So I'm in a regional flight, you know, with at least over half that flight is kids.
You were the only one not wearing ears,
and
weren't you?
We back out, and they say there's a storm, so we're going to sit here. So I had to sit on a regional airline, which is probably about 100 seats. Probably about 60 of those were kids. And we just sit there for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
They're all crapping their pants and crying.
I'm just breathing like, so, okay, don't go nuts. Don't go nuts. So apparently the FBI didn't accept me because I elbowed a kid on that flight.
All right.
Yeah.
That and the meth.
Yeah. And the coke.
All that.
Yeah.
Think nothing of it. An illegal Airbnb setup is busted for renting overnight stays in vans parked on the streets of New York City.
Down by the river.
The New York Sheriff's Department says the vans were parked throughout Chelsea and the East Village, offering cheap lodging at Airbnb. All seven of the vans had New Jersey plates.
Now, was it a cheap Airbnb?
The operation went unnoticed for about 2 years. Authorities impounded the vehicles last week. The owners of the vans have been hit with a lot of charges. They only found out about the vans after seeing a YouTube video about them.
So when you rent Airbnb, can you stay the night in a van?
You can't rent out your van?
Oh, it's probably just parked on the street. Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a residence.
Yeah.
It's not a residence.
Now, did the people know they were renting a van?
I think most of the
time,
yeah.
They probably did, yeah. Okay, so it probably cost them,
damn cheap.
$20 a night, probably.
I don't know how much it was, but apparently it was very cheap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, until you have to take a dump.
Good point,
right.
Nick.
Well, but there's all kind of, you know, if they park it in the right spot.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a lot of people that just rent that for, say, an hour.
Oh, that's some... Don't blacklight the van.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hit. Yeah, you don't want to be in there in the next hour.
No.
Well, yeah, then what? Do you stay there and you brush your teeth at a Starbucks? It's all weird.
Yeah.
I love you punch in a code or you go somewhere and get a key? Because, you know, Airbnb, there's usually a code.
It's urban
houses.
Urban glamping.
Yeah.
You show up, somebody's already there. Scoot over.
Dude, this is my van.
That's my van.
Cops knew there were do not disturb signs on the handles of the doors.
That's disgusting.
You can literally rent closets in New York. I'm looking. I pulled up the app just to see if I could find these vans.
Like just a bed in a closet. There'd be heat in there so you wouldn't freeze, all right?
They call it an individual cubicle room. It's a closet with a bed in it. I mean, it looks like the room is like, 10 by 6. Maybe.
How much?
$76 a night.
Yeah, well, if that's all you need.
Yeah, but you come out of the closet and the owner of the VRBO is sitting, he's in the kitchen?
It looks like it's a building full of a bunch of these tiny little ones.
Okay, got it.
And then shared bathrooms.
All right. Yeah, little hostels then, basically.
Right.
These were about $100 a night.
A van. How much? $100.
Yeah, glamp in a spacious camper van in NYC.
Oh, it might have a pisser in it then.
Yeah, carpeted walls.
Well, pissers in a van is just for men to just get outside the van.
Yeah, it's a sliding door.
It's a camper van.
Exactly.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.